Meanwhile, back in the NFL.
Yeah, back to what we do for a living.
Did you watch any of the Monday Night Football game last night?
I did, and you know how I am about these things, Sean. You know the first thing I'm going to bring up.
Did the officials do something that bothered you, Rich?
Of course. Yeah. And the adding injury to insult was throwing the flag and then picking it up when they clearly saw initially that Bobby Wagner broke the rules.
Yeah.
And then for some whatever reason that is yet to be explained, decided to pick up the flag. And you know where I am on this. I will always bemoan the fact that there's not someone at headquarters in New York that can overrule an obvious error. It just drives me nuts.
There are bad calls in every NFL game. You know that, right?
Right, but that was a bad call that clearly impacted the momentum of the game late in a low-scoring defensive struggle.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, my bigger takeaway was the fact that the big free agent signing this offseason, the man who shattered the glass ceiling on fully guaranteed contracts,
that's pretty big,
is playing way worse than the guy who they let walk up to Denver in free agency.
This is true.
At least in big situations. Because I know statistically, you look at Cousins' numbers, you go, wow, he's among the league leaders in yards, and he's got 23 touchdowns and 9 interceptions, which is not a great ratio in today's NFL, but it's not Sam Darnold either, who the Texans play this weekend, who's 12 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. But Rich, I said it on Friday when we made our picks on that game last week. Well, I said, are you telling me that I get to lay just a field goal with the best home field advantage in football,
right,
with one of the hottest teams in football against Kirk Cousins, who is the worst good quarterback in prime time? There's worse quarterbacks in prime time because they suck all the time. But as far as quarterbacks who actually put together some good games here and there, Kirk Cousins is clearly the one who is human shrinkage. He shrinks on the big stage every time, and it's glorious.
The team is the definition of mediocrity at 6-6-1. And I mean, yeah, there may be some numbers that disguise what's actually going on there, but I like to look at how much a team scores, and the Vikings are 20th in the league in scoring, and over their last two games, they've scored a total of 17 points. As a result, his offensive coordinator got the gate today. This John DeFilippo, who not that long ago was mentioned as someone that might be a candidate for a head coaching job,
Rich,
is suddenly on the street less than a full season after they brought in Kirk Cousins.
Rich, I tweeted this last night after the second time that they had Kirk Cousins drop back to throw on 3rd and 1 in the game, and he was quickly forced out of the pocket, had to roll out, and then throw the ball into the 5th row. I said, this John DeFilippo guy, he's a big up-and-comer, is what I'm hearing.
Until today.
I see his name on all these lists that he's the next big thing, this John DeFilippo. You know, he's the next big deal. You know what? I never root for people to get fired, necessarily.
No.
But I am kind of glad that there's been a little bit of homeostasis with the career of John DeFilippo, whoever the hell he is, whose name gets mixed in all the time. And it was funny, I was listening to Mike Lombardi with Mad Radio last week. He does his hits with them on Thursdays. And he brought up a point that when he talked about it, I'm going, this is a phenomenal point that he's making, which is that a lot of these head coaching hires are like political campaigns.
Right.
Right. Because at the end of the day, these guys who have never been a head coach before, it's more about the buzz and the tree that they fall off of and the charisma at the press conference than it is anything that we know about how they're going to be as a CEO of an enterprise or an organization. It was Vrabel who he was talking about it. It was within the context of discussing Mike Vrabel, and it was coming off of the big loss to the Texans the week before. So, or maybe it was coming off of their win over the Jags. I don't remember. But his point was that everybody gets all hepped up about these head coaches, and then all of a sudden, they wind up on these lists, and these lists take on a life of their own.
They do.
That if enough guys like us see a list like that, then we start mentioning their name. And kudos to whoever their agent is, because that's probably who's planting the seed. You know who was like that? Vance Joseph. Vance Joseph was talked about as a future head coaching candidate for about 3 or 4 years. Well, he was talked about as a future defensive coordinator candidate forever since he was the DB coach here. And then he was a DC for like a year in Miami. All of a sudden, he's the head coach for the Denver Broncos. And it's like, what the hell is going on? But enough people just say his name all the time. And that's this DeFilippo character is the offensive version of Vance Joseph.
Well, look, the pursuit of game-changing or franchise-altering head coaches is second only to the pursuit of the franchise quarterback, right? I mean, every team out there that doesn't have that guy is always looking for that guy, and it's just very much like the pursuit of the franchise quarterback. There are going to be a lot of mistakes made in teams taking a chance on this guy or that guy. And, you know, we talk about Kirk Cousins not performing very well. Russell Wilson was not good last night either.
Oh, the one play before the half was ridiculous.
He was terrible. That was yeah. ridiculous. But the Seahawks running for over 200 yards against what's been a pretty stout run defense in Miami is maybe the story of that game. But weigh in on this, and I'll leave it alone, I promise. The fact that obvious violation of a rule was allowed to happen, for me, makes it a less enjoyable viewing experience. If you're not going to have the eye in the sky guy in New York overseeing and making sure these egregious mistakes don't happen, you should at least allow Zimmer to throw the challenge flag, right, and have them take another look at that?
Maybe. You add it.
Doesn't that just make sense?
Yeah, I do think there are more things they could probably add to the challenge list, for sure. I don't want it to be one of these. Some of these people are like, you should be able to challenge anything. Okay, well, there's holding on every play. Like, you gotta draw the line somewhere. I guess you're asking me if it affected my enjoyment of the game. No, I agree that maybe that should be one of the things that the competition committee should look at in terms of being able to toss the challenge flag on, for sure, because you saw it with your own eyes. Didn't affect my enjoyment of the game. It's rich to me. I think more me than you. The fact that there are going to be errors, even egregious errors in officiating, is baked into the game for me at this point. I don't let it affect how I enjoy it.
And it has been my whole life. But in 2018, I find it possibly intolerable that things like this are allowed to happen.
I also had the Seahawks I also had the Seahawks -3. So let me just say that might have been affecting my enjoyment more than any missed calls. And it benefited my bet at that point. So, yeah, as far as the point you were making about the franchise quarterback and then the franchise head coach being the top two things franchises look at, I think you're right about that. I think the big difference between the two, with respect to first-time head coaches, these guys like Vance Joseph and DeFilippo and Mike Vrabel, and I guess we'll add in, you know, guys who've been successful so far. Sean McVay, Nagy in Chicago, Adam Gase in Miami. Bill O'Brien here had not been a head coach in the NFL, at least. But the one thing about quarterbacks is you at least have a bunch of film. You can watch them play in college, pick up tendencies, things they need to fix.
Right.
Until a guy's been a head coach, and especially a head coach at the NFL level, you have no idea how they're going to handle the things that come with being a head coach. Like the step up from coordinator and drawing up plays and calling plays in a game and having that micro level of a management of one facet of an organization is a completely different animal than managing the entire organization itself and hiring a staff. You know, things like that. That's the biggest thing. Like, how do these guys even know what to surround themselves with to make themselves better? So
it's a very tough, just like with the quarterback, it's an extremely tough thing to project, to speculate that this guy is going to be able to do all those things when many of them, only if you're lucky do you get someone who's already been there and done that.
Credit Mike Zimmer for having the balls to fire an OC that he hired in the offseason, even when they're still in the second wildcard spot.
Unless management told him he had to fire the guy.
Whatever. I mean,
does happen too.
Possibly, but Zimmer strikes me as a guy who's his own guy. And Zimmer strikes me as a no-nonsense kind of guy. Whatever. Whoever did it, good for them, because it wasn't working.
Yeah, no.
And it may not work with Cousins there, but the fact that
the guy feels like a scapegoat, though.
The fact that they've... Yeah, well, they can't fire the quarterback because they're paying him $87 million.
Of course.
But they've got the best weapons. They're like, among skill position guys,
they have a lot of good
weapons. Vikings have like one of the top five sets of weapons in the league with Diggs and Thielen at wide receiver, with Kyle Rudolph at tight end, with Dalvin Cook at running back.
Sure.
Like, that's pretty damn good.
I agree. Yeah. And by the way, I am with Belichick on the challenge thing. I do think you should be able to challenge everything. As long as there are limits on the amount of challenges that a coach can make, it's not going to bog things down.
Maybe. All right.